Beautiful day and beautiful morning to be able to assemble together like this to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's no exception to the fact that God is good to us each and every day, and He blesses us with all the things that we have that many times we might take for granted, but we always need to remember our daily dependence on God. It's no exception to the fact that I'm thankful that you're here, and I'm always happy to be with those of like precious faith and worship God in spirit and truth with the household of God, the church, and to be able to do the things that God would have us to be doing on this very day. And it's no exception to the fact that, again, I'm happy to be with you. And I want you to take out your Bible. No exception to the fact that I want you to take out the Bible and follow along with me and make sure that what I say is right. And if you think I've missed the mark, I'll listen to you. And I'll listen to the things that you say. If you think, preacher, you've missed it, you misrepresented what the Bible says, then you let me know about that. I'm very easy to get in touch with. I always make myself available to you. You can call me, text me, email me, stop by the house, catch me at the back door, whatever the case may be. And I think I'm pretty easy to talk to as well. So I appreciate you being here, and you take out your Bible and follow along with me. Appreciate the good reading that Lucas did from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 1, when the Bible says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then he will go on and continue to talk about that. And a like statement is found in the second book of Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 1, when a charge was given. I charge you therefore before God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's the reason. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I want us to talk today for just a little while about some sad Bible phrases. There's a lot of phrases as you look in the divine record, the divine Word of God, the Bible, that are very sad. Ones that many times will bring a tear to your eye, cause you to have sorrow because of what is stated. And there's many, many phrases that an individual could think about as you think about the 66 books of the Bible that are sad. I'm just going to share a few with you, very briefly, just a few. And the first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 20. Numbers, chapter 20, a statement is found in the midst of this context, and we're going to begin with verse 7. Many of these I'm sure that you are familiar with. There may be some that many of you are not familiar with. If you already know these, good for you. I'll remind you. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 7, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rod before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rod, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Now you're no doubt familiar with this event, Numbers chapter 20, when Moses failed to do what God said to do. God said, speak to the rock, and he smote the rock. Now watch the next verse, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not. Now the Bible doesn't give us any more, really, to this event than what we have right here concerning this statement, because you believed me not. But he goes on to say, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Well, you may say, preacher, there are several sad phrases that can be found in this context, and I agree with you. But the one that I want you to see this morning is the fact that God tells Moses, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land that I have given them. Ladies and gentlemen, from a human perspective, Moses is probably an individual that we might catch ourselves feeling sorry for because of this. We know he did wrong. And as a result of that, there was a consequence. But you think about Moses and his great deliverer of God's people out of Egyptian bondage. Of course, God did it. But Moses was one that was leading the people out of Egyptian bondage. Would you have had the courage that Moses would have had to have went to the king of Egypt and said repeatedly, God said, let my people go? Would you have done that? Would you have had the nerve and the backbone that Moses demonstrated that he had and leading the children of Israel, though they were a complaining and murmuring group of people? And yet because he failed to do as God said to do, he paid a consequence for it. I think it's a sad state of affairs when we think many times, evidently a lot of folks think, and we might think it from time to time ourselves, and if we do, we need to perish the thinking, that somehow that we can do something contrary to what God says to do, and somehow God will just overlook it. I get to thinking about what we read here, and I think if God did not overlook it with Moses, what makes me think God will overlook it with me? We've got to do what God says to do, and this event helps us appreciate the fact that God means what He says, and He expects obedience from His people. He always has, and He always will. And we think of other passages like Deuteronomy chapter 4 and then verse 2. You're not going to diminish off from it. You're not going to add to it. Don't depart from it to the left or the right. You do what God says to do in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. The context of the book of Revelation, but the principle applies to all that God has said for us to do and to not do. Add thou not to His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Proverbs 30 and then verse 6. And so, it's very sad that we read that as a result of what Moses did, he couldn't lead the people into the promised land. But God did allow him to look over and see the promised land, but he wasn't allowed to go. Isn't that sad? We've got to do what God says to do and be right in His sight. And don't add to or take away from what He says to do. In Matthew chapter 23, as we get to another sad Bible phrase, you may recall that Matthew chapter 23 is a strong rebuke against the religious leaders of the day. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he points out what they did. They were hypocritical. What was on the outside, I should say, was not an accurate description or reflection of what was on the inside. And the Lord called them out for it. I want you to notice what the Bible says beginning with verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now watch verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy chickens together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Gather thy children, rather, together. Even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Now watch this. Sad Bible phrases. And ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then he gets into chapter 24 and chapter 25. And among those things that he discusses in chapter 24 is there's not going to be one stone left here that shall not be thrown down. And then he discusses the end of the world. Now some may have a problem with that, and so you can let me know. But that's what he discusses in chapter 24 and then the great judgment scene of chapter 20, 5. But I want you to see this point as we're thinking about sad Bible phrases. The fact that he says, and ye would not. This is what I would do, but you wouldn't have it. That impresses upon me that the Lord did not say, and ye could not, but you would not. And there's people like that today. Jesus came to save the world from sin. In fact, he shed his blood so we can have the forgiveness of our sin. The great master teacher himself, the Savior of the world. And yet, they rejected him. Crucified him. Put him to death. Ye would not. In Luke chapter 7 and in verse 30, and there's a lot of passages you could use as you're thinking about this idea. But notice in verse 30 that the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves being not baptized of him. Rejected the counsel of God would not be baptized with John's baptism. And thereby rejecting the counsel of God. And then the Lord talked about in Mark chapter 7 verse 9, you reject the commandments of God that you may hold to your traditions. In other places, Acts chapter 7, 51 and 52. When Stephen is preaching to the Jews and the fact that your fathers have persecuted the prophets before, which show to the coming of the Holy One, the Just One. As your fathers did, even so do ye. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in the ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do ye. And in Acts 2, 23 and in verse 36, 23 and in verse 36, the fact that they rejected Jesus, crucified him, the very one that came so that they could be saved. I'm thankful, by the way, in Acts chapter 2, that a great deal of them obeyed the gospel. About 3,000, after they heard the gospel and obeyed it. Sad Bible phrases, ye would not. But also in Acts chapter 19, verses 8 and 9. Here it was, Paul was sent forth, him, Barnabas, and others went with them on these missionary journeys to proclaim the gospel to the world. Not everyone accepted it. Many people rejected, spake evil of what they were doing. And you see in verse 8, beginning, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers, the King James Version says, the New King James Version says, but when some were hardened and believed not, and spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Some today will speak evil of the right way, but when they were hardened, believed not, but spake evil of that way. You say, preacher, surely folks would not speak evil of the right way, the very way in which they could be saved, revealed in the Bible. Why do you think more people don't obey the gospel? They don't believe. Hardened hearts, unbelieving, even speaking evil of that which is right. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 talks about the last day scoffers shall come, mockers, ridiculers. Scoffers, folks that would make fun of, make light of, speak evil of the right ways of the Lord. But also when you think about Acts chapter 13 and in verse 46, as we think about sad Bible phrases, and again, many of you could add to this list, I'm just sharing just a few of them with you. Acts chapter 13 and in verse 44 begin. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. I've been with you just a few short years. And I don't think on any occasion that it could be said that there was a time when almost the whole city of London came out to hear the Word of God. I wish that were the case. But not so. Together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. That harkens our mind back to what we just read. in Acts 19, 8 and 9. They speak evil against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, Lord, we turn to the Gentiles. Isn't that sad? Didn't believe. Blaspheme, which just simply means to speak evil of or against. Spake evil again of those things which Paul had spoke, contradicting and blaspheming. And Paul says it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. Now watch this. But seeing ye put it from you. Here's a sad Bible phrase I want you to think about. And judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. When you see those phrases in the Bible, Romans and following, Romans and Galatians and other places, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile, the gospel was first proclaimed to the Jews. And then to the Gentiles in Acts 10 and 11, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. When was it, I ask you, that they were unworthy of everlasting life? Now, some of the religious world today would say, well, before God even brought them into the world, because He pre-selected, He predestined certain individuals against anything that they could ever do to be lost. That flies in the face of what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. They judged themselves. Not God judged them. That's not what the text says. They judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life as a result of the fact that they rejected the teaching of the gospel. Do people do that today? Can one judge himself unworthy of everlasting life as a result of rejecting what the Bible teaches? Think about that. It's a death blow to predestination in the sense that the religious world uses it so often times. Sad Bible phrases. But I'll share another one with you in John chapter 6. I hope this whets your appetite and you begin to think about some other phrases in the Bible that are very sad. Share them with me. We may do another lesson on it. And I'll tell you, in a like fashion, there are a lot of, on a positive side, there are a lot of beautiful passages in the Bible that are joyous passages. But in John chapter 6 and in verse 66, Jesus had stated in verse 65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples, a disciple means a follower, a learner, of another. The Christians were called disciples. They were learners, followers of Jesus. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. From that time, many of his disciples went back. Listen to how sad this is. And walked no more with him. Isn't that sad? And then he turned to the 12. Will you also go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Was exclaimed by Simon Peter. Many of his own disciples from that time turned back, walked no more with him. Folks today many times turn and walk no more with the Lord, though they used to be a disciple of the Lord. Learn about the Lord, obey the Lord, walking faithfully according to what the Bible says, but then in process of time, they turned and went back out into the world. Reminds me of Demas, doesn't it, you? When Paul would say, Demas hath forsaken me and loved this present world. But then someone in the religious world says, preacher, it's impossible for a person who's really saved to turn and to walk back in the ways of the world so as to be lost. Well, that's what that gets you. If you do that, and you turn from the Lord and you're no longer faithful, you'll be lost. Brethren, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, the words of Hebrews chapter 3 and then verse 12. And when you come over to the book of James, among other passages, James, just like the writer of the book of Hebrews, was writing to Christians. James is writing to Christians. And notice what James says in James chapter 5. And then verse 19, brethren, Christian people, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converted, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Folks, we've got to be faithful unto death if we want that crown of life. Not be faithful or endure for a while, the Lord said. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And so we've got to do the same thing. They walk no more with him. But also, as you think about sad Bible phrases, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15, you ever get tired? All of us do. All of us get tired. But yet the Bible says, as you're turning there, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart, some versions say, or faint not. The King James Version says in Galatians 6 and then verse 9. And Paul was a busy individual doing the will of the Lord. And notice what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and then verse 15. I will therefore gladly spend and be spent for you. Do you have that mentality? That for the brethren you will gladly spend and be spent. But then here's what I want you to think about as we think about sad Bible phrases. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I want you to dwell on that for a while, beyond the sermon this morning. And what Paul could be saying by saying, yeah, the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved by you. It reminds me of a statement that Paul made in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and then verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Many times, not just gospel preachers, but anyone who will defend what the Bible says and tell it to other people will end up finding himself or even herself at odds with those about him. But yet, the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved by you. But yet he says that I'm willing to spend and to be spent for the brethren. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, sad Bible phrases. Begins in verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. A similar statement is found in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And he says in verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. The very one who hung on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood so that we could be saved, Paul says that there are individuals who are enemies of the cross of Christ. There's a lot of things that are associated with the cross of Christ. What was accomplished? Who was there? That is, the sacrifice on the cross, the Lamb of God, which taken away the sin of the world, John 1:29, Savior of the world, Matthew 1:21, and the list goes on and on with that, yet there are people who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Acts 13, verse 10. When they went out on the missionary journeys, we call them. When they was at Paphos, and remember the Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, deputy of the country, desired to hear the word of God, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, or Jesus, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith, and then remember what Paul said to him? Full of all subtlety, mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy Of all righteousness wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord. Folks who oppose what the Bible says in reality are enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies of God's Word and His plan. Know you not, adulterers and adulterers? Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? He that is a friend of the world is an enemy with God. And that's sad. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Matthew 7:23, another sad Bible phrase. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now, folks today think that the Lord knows them, recognizes them as doing what is right, recognizes them as His people, but in reality they're working lawlessness, iniquity. In Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of Christ, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. It's a strong statement that's found in Matthew 15:13. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. A lot of planting's taken place. God's planted and man's planted, and every plant which God's not planted, what the text say, shall be rooted up. Matthew 25:41, depart from me. I want you to see that I never knew you in Matthew 7:23. And in Matthew 25:41, depart from me. Those on the left shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25:46. Isn't that sad? You may be here this morning, not a Christian. If you die in that condition, the end of the world comes today, or the end of your earthly pilgrimage comes today, and you die outside of the Lord, come to judgment, you will hear those most three dreaded words, depart from me. Last point. In Acts 26:28. Upon Paul speaking, teaching about the ways of the Lord, as he again was often busy about doing, Matthew 26:28, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost is not good enough. You may be here this morning. You may say, preacher, on more than one occasion I've been almost persuaded. In the words of the hymn that was sometimes sung, almost persuaded, but lost. Almost, ladies and gentlemen, we still remain in our sins, though we are almost persuaded to do what God would have us to do. If you're here this morning, not a Christian, you need to become one. Preacher, what do I have to do to become a Christian? What they did in the Bible to become one? Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing.